Hello and welcome to All About Symbian Insight number 147. We're recording this on the 20th of December, and so this counts as our Christmas edition this year. Yes, it's me, Ray Blanford, and with me is Steve Litchfield in Reading.
Yes, hello everyone.
It's David up in Hull.
Hello, Merry Christmas.
And Ewan, who I'm not sure where he is.
It's Christmas!
I'm still in Edinburgh, I'm snowed in.
Well, thank you very much, Ewan. Yes, I suppose it's a bit much all these Brits complaining about it being snowed in. I'm sure there are some people elsewhere in the world with plenty more snow than us. Yes, hello to all our Scandinavian and our Finnish listeners who are no doubt 4 feet of snow, but we're all panicking because it's 4 inches and all the airports are closed.
Scotland has more snow.
Okay, there we go. Well, Scotland always does things slightly differently to the rest of the UK. Okay, so we'll get this Christmas edition underway, and I think the first thing we'll talk about is some games to keep you amused when you've been given boring socks by Uncle Albert or you need to get away from the rest of the family. So, Ewan, have you got anything that can keep us amused over the Christmas period?
I have, yes. Just suddenly, because you said Uncle Albert there, a quick recommendation for those of you who like theoretical quantum physics. Black Holes and Uncle Albert would be my recommended reading for the Christmas. It's an old-fashioned print novel. It's quantum electrodynamics and physics for the 12-year-old. So while you're keeping them amused with that, I have to recommend Angry Birds Seasons. Angry Birds is the game that has pretty much said mobile gaming is addictive and works, and that's for every platform over the entire year. The regular edition is available for £3 in the Obi store for the UK and equivalent prices everywhere else. For the seasons, what they've done is they've basically created an advent calendar. There's 25 levels. And you get to open one of them on the 1st of December, one of them on the 2nd of December, and so on. Now it's the 20th of December, so all previous 20s are open, but we've not seen 21, 22, 23, 20, or 24, or 25. It's £1.50. You also get about, I think, 50 levels from their Halloween season one, because they didn't quite have it ready for Simeon at that point. So essentially, it's another 75 levels of Angry Birds for £1.50. A great dip-in and dip-out game. You know, you can't play it for hours on end, but for 5-10 minute bursts of gameplay, this is wonderful. You know, in that strange speech, that sits between Top of the Pops 2 and the Bond film, Liz Windsor does it, I think, you can get at least 2 Angry Birds levels in. That makes my Christmas.
That's great. And I think one of the good things about this Angry Birds game is you've got the initial play value when you're playing all the levels, and a lot of people then like to get the maximum 3 stars to get the highest possible score. So Ewan, how are you doing so far on the advent calendar levels?
Well, I came to it a little bit earlier. I got a little bit later. So I'm still pretending to play a day at a time, but I'm about 15 days behind. So I'm on the 5th of December and I have 14 stars out of 15.
Oh, that's very impressive. For those that want to get this, it's available in the Ovi store. As Ewan said, it costs £1.50. I think it's a bit of a bargain given all the pricing, although no doubt there'll be some comments about how the fact it's cheaper on Android and indeed iOS, where some of it is advertising powered. But if you want to get it, yes, it's available in the Ovi store. And I can particularly recommend, if you have an N8, you can then play Angry Birds with HDR on your HGTV, which hopefully some of you will be getting for Christmas, and if not, well, you can play it on an ordinary TV, but you'll just have to use the analog TV out cable from your N95 or another device. So from Angry Birds, which is perhaps a little unrealistic, maybe we could have a game from Steve that is perhaps a bit more realistic. Have you got anything we could play over Christmas, Steve?
Well, I've actually got a whole batch of games. I just thought it would make an interesting data point to run through some of the games I've got installed on my N8 at the moment, finishing up with the one which my sort of flagship review for this week. Micropool, which I still recommend to everybody. If any passing interest in pool or billiards, it runs beautifully on virtually all Symbian touchscreen devices. And every single game is by definition different, because you break off and then the ball's always going to a slightly different place. And by the time you've had your second or third shot, the ball's in totally different positions to every other game you've ever played. And I just love games that have this kind of infinite gameplay. So do look at Micropool. I've got GT Racing Motor Academy, I think that's the full title, which they're pretty, pretty swish for driving games. And yes, there's Tetris HD, which I think I reviewed about a week or so, breaking links to that in the show notes. Really, really good implementation of Tetris, even though it doesn't use the full screen, but really slickly done. And finally, yes, Real Golf 2011 HD. It's a proper golf simulation in many ways. It's certainly closer than a lot of the cartoony golf games I've seen on some platforms. It's pretty immersive. It's not a perfect simulation. You don't get headwinds or tailwinds, which is a bit of a swizz, really. That's one of the fun bits of most golf games, is allowing for that and, you know, just getting the length just right on your shots. But that apart, and a few minor unrealistic things like hitting a 200-yard shot out of a bunker with a 3-iron, which I don't really think you could do in the real world. That apart, it's beautifully depicted, really immersive, nice sound effects apart from the irritating commentary. It really plays like a console game, and yet it's on your phone and on the 3.5-inch screen, C7 and N8. Really, really rather nice. So 3 or 4 ideas there, and none of them will break the bank. And real golf, particularly if on an N8, is free. We're really hoping it comes out at maybe £2 or £3 for the C7 and C6, because right now they're missing out.
And Steve, you say it's available for the N8. How can people get hold of this game?
At the moment, it's available, presumably licensed by Nokia from Gameloft, and they've stuck it in SW Update over the air, which you can grab it, or over Wi-Fi, obviously, it's about 30 megabytes, or via OBBYSUITE. Just plug your device into OBBYSUITE, and it should there. You check for updates on the tools menu, and it should appear there. Do you know the story, Rafe, behind whether it will appear as a commercial game? Surely they've got to release it. It's good enough.
Yes, I'm sure this will emerge for the other devices. What tends to happen in these cases, you know, Nokia signs a license to give it away for free. You know, it's a promotional item, but I would expect it will be available for the other handsets in the Ovi store in due course, and it'll probably be priced similar to Gameloft's other HD quality games, which are £3. So we'll just have to wait and see on that one. We'll update the site once it's available for other handsets. So I think we'll move on to Dave now. Have you got any game suggestions to keep people entertained?
Yes, there's a couple of games I've been reviewing on the site over the last few weeks. The first one is RoboDeath. So if people are tired of the battlefield that is family gatherings, you can have a war game on your phone. Sorry, slightly cynical comment there. yes, RoboDeath is kind of a postmodern take on the tower defense genre, and it's on the Ovi store. There's a trial version for free, and it's £1.50 to buy full. And it's just basically, postmodern battlefield. You've got tanks and like robotic walkers, but you have to try and stop. You have to defend the pass to some distant futuristic city, and you have a range of weapons you can put down, and you have limited funds to like buy defense towers and upgrade them, and it can get actually very frantic, and so much so that the C7 I was testing on kind of gets very, very hot to play it. So it is good fun. It gets quite intense. So you can replay different levels, try different tactics, different types of weapons. And the other game that I've tried is Air Hockey Touch. There's an ad-supported free version, or you can buy it without ads for £1 on the Ovi store. And this is just basically a physics simulation of a classic air hockey game, where you have a table with air being pushed through and a puck which glides along on the cushion of air, and you and your friend or your enemy are batting the puck to each other, and you have to defend your goals, and the winner is the first to 5 goals. I've tested it on a Symbian 3 and a 65th edition phone, and one interesting thing that I found is that most of the time that I've been using touchscreen since I've kind of like weaned myself off keyboards, touch has worked fine, because I always had a worry about your finger would get in the way of things and block things, but good user interface design has not made that the case. Although in this case, with Air Hockey Touch, you need to keep your finger on the puck all the time, and often the puck is kind of flying around behind your bat underneath your finger, so you can't quite see what you're doing. So if you actually have a touchscreen phone with a stylus, it actually does work a lot better with a stylus, so just bear that in mind.
Okay, that's great, thanks David. And I think both the games that David mentioned are available, both Symbian 3 and a 65th edition devices. The ones we mentioned before that are Symbian 3 only, but the good news is if you go onto Ovi store at the moment, EA Games are giving a lot of their S65th edition and S63rd editions away for free, and so there's a lot you can download. I won't mention them all by name, but there's ones from Java games like SimCity and some driving games right through their range of games. We'll include a link to that in the show notes, so that'll be able to keep you entertained even if you don't have a Touch or a Symbian 3 phone. I think keeping with the Christmas theme here, and we do apologise if it's not Christmas in your area, but it is for us, and so we're trying to do a theme podcast this week. Let's talk about music. And David, I know you've been trying out Mobler this week, which has just arrived on Symbian 3, but is of course available for all other Symbian handsets as well. What's been your experience with that on Symbian 3?
So far, things are pretty good. Things are pretty unchanged. There's been a question of timing with this, because not only did they need to fix problems with compatibility with Symbian 3, but also there were some changes with the background on Last.fm, because Last.fm have been making some changes. We have a new scrobbling API, and for people who don't know what scrobbling is, this is a process where you have an agent monitoring what you're listening to or the music program itself. It actually reports back to the Last.fm servers what you're listening to, so it can actually build up a profile of the sort of things you like, so it can suggest things to you. So as I say, there's a new scrobbling API which they've put in, and also some of the radio stations on Last.fm have been discontinued, such as any playlists you had set up and any love tracks that you had. So I think Ebenezer Scrooge has been working at Last.fm. So they had to integrate the changes for all of that.
But that reflects some of the changing trends in the music industry. It's probably worth saying at this point, David, can you just explain what Mobler does, or what Last.fm does, in terms of, you know, what's the music experience when you're listening to it on your phone, and why might it be useful at Christmas time?
Yes, the main thing with Last.fm is that it's not like Spotify, where you can just listen to anything you want to listen to. What happens with Last.fm is that, as I say, through the scrobbling process, Last.fm builds up a list of all the music that you listen to, and it builds up a profile of what you like. And then you can listen to what used to be a recommended station, and it's now a mixed station. It's basically music discovery. It will play music to you that it thinks you will like based on what you've already listened to. And that's what Mobler does. Mobler will sit in the background of a Symbian phone and scrobble what you're playing on the built-in music application, but then it has radio stations built in to actually play music to you, streaming off the internet, what you think you like. Although I should point out that the music streaming service is for Last.fm subscribers, which I think works out to about £36 a year, which is a lot cheaper than Spotify.
Absolutely, yeah. Now, there's a whole range of these music services, and I think Mobler has been a perennial favourite for us. But if you're looking for other things, there are other options out there. One of which is, of course, downloading music directly from Nokia's Music Store, or the Ovi Music Store, as it is now known. And as part of a Christmas promotion, they're giving away 13 Christmas tracks for free that you can download from the store. There's also a lot of other Christmas music there, including some of the favourites like Carols from Kings, as well as plenty of other Christmas-related things, right from the sort of Latin chants all the way to the sort of wacky Christmas songs, such as When Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. So you can go and check that out. And actually, I've been using it myself, and it's a great way to get some music instantly to suit the occasion. So I think we'll move on from Christmas just for the time being. We'll talk about something that's come out this week, which is the Nokia E7 news of a delay. And Steve, can you just summarize that for us?
The E7 has been officially delayed due to a quoted hardware control issue, a quality control issue. But my gut feel, Rafe, and I may be speaking out of turn here, is that Nokia really want to avoid hitting the E7, hitting the journalists and the bloggers with the same kind of just minor issues to do with the browser and, quote, laggy home screen, even though we know it's not really, and the slow social update system, as the N8 did. I think they want to avoid that. And I think they'll find every excuse they can to just push the E7 back until they've got that new browser, they've got the new home screen, they've got the social sorted, and they've got all of that in place, so they can release it with day one firmware being really up to the minute and getting the same software that the N8 will get in a firmware update and make everyone happy. So you have to think that they're thinking firmware here rather than just the hardware.
Yeah. Well, the official reason that we've had from Nokia is it's due to a user experience issue. Now, the understanding is that this is actually related to hardware. There's been no absolute confirmation from Nokia on this, so we are sort of speculating here. I think I'll take maybe a softer line than Stephen. I suspect there's been some issue in quality control at a last minute stage, and they've decided to fix that. once they decide to implement a fix like that, it does mean an almost inevitable delay, because what people perhaps don't realise is that the production of a device like the eSIM will start several months before it actually hits the shelves, and you will have to go back and fix some of the existing stock and build stock back up to a level at which you can then begin the shipment process. And, you know, it varies from every device and every manufacturer, but typically a manufacturer will want to have something in the region of 50 to 100,000 units sitting in the sort of warehouse ready to go before they actually start the shipping process. And obviously for handsets that sell less, it will be fewer, and the opposite is also true. So I'm not sure what the case here is on the E7, but from what we've been told, it's been delayed around a month. It'll be available early next year, and I think we can now probably mean the end of January, early February. And we were expecting this of the shipping announcement to pretty much be on the 31st of December of this year. So it's not a delay, I think, in the same league as something like the N8, which was, I think, arguably a couple of months late, although Nokia shipped it within their Q3 deadline just about. But I think everyone knows that that was a bit behind the times. Ewan, just to ask you a question here, how serious do you think this delay is? Does it have any impact whatsoever, or is it just something that you get excited about with some of the online enthusiasts and some of the media writing about it?
I think it is the latter. Look, Nokia, I think, were in a slightly sticky no-win situation here. They could have let it out with this slight flaw, and everybody would say, well, why haven't you delayed it? Or they could delay it, and people say, well, why haven't you just let it go? And I think they've actually made the sensible choice for a couple of reasons. The first one is, you know, have it come out with a slightly better firmware, possibly with an improved web browser, and then it will be have a bigger bit of differentiation compared to the N8. Then people who are writing about it will be able to go, look, Nokia have improved on the phone they released 3 months ago with this one. That tells a good story. The second one is, yeah, you don't release rubbish stuff. If you don't want to stand behind it, you don't release it. Simple as that. So Nokia saying, look, you know, we've seen what we've done wrong previously. We're going to hold off for one more month. Again, that tells a good story. And finally, to tell a good story, you need your PR people switched on. And London is famous for every PR person switching off on the 10th of December, having lots of parties with all their clients, lots of coffee, little bit of Christmas spirit coming into the flow as well. And they're not going to come back after Christmas for 2 days' work. They're not going to get into the swing of things. Really, the PR industry, certainly in the UK, kind of grinds to a halt until about January the 6th or 7th, which is just about the right time when you want to start picking up a campaign for a launch to come up at the end of January. So I think on the three parts of storytelling, Nokia have made the right decision here.
Okay, thanks. You and David, do you have a viewpoint on this?
Yeah, this is just based on something that I got from when I spoke to a member of the E7 team at Nokia World in September. What they were planning when it originally came out is that the E7 wasn't actually going to be, in a way, it wasn't going to be that much of an E-series phone. It wasn't going to be too different from the N8. It was going to have the EDOF camera instead of the autofocus camera. It was going to have a physical keyboard, large screen. And the only notable software feature that made it anything like an E-series was a quick office edit. They said that in a future firmware update, probably January, but didn't really want to put a date on it, but they were going to bring in other enterprise features like drive encryption, mail for exchange encryption, and support for virtual private networks. So hopefully they can actually get all of this bundled into the device when it launches, and it will be a proper fully fledged enterprise E-series device.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. We'll certainly see more enterprise-specific software, although these days these enterprise designation is as much about what's done in the marketing and what's on the three lines in the sales brochure as anything else. So I have to wait and see on that one. I sort of agree with you in here in that I think delays on devices tend to get terribly overhyped, because what most people tend to forget in all of this is the majority of sales of a device happen in the sort of 10 months, you know, in the latter half a year after it goes on sale. Yes, the enthusiasts buy very quickly and very early on, but particularly with Nokia devices where the sales are still totally dominantly through operators rather than, you know, through specific retail stores. You know, Apple does with obviously their iPhone, a lot is sold through Apple stores. They do a deal with AT&T, but there's much bigger momentum around the launch announcement. Nokia does little more than put out a press release saying it started shipping from the factories. So I think it does depend on, you know, where you look at. And ultimately, as I say, the majority of these sales of a device like this will take place, you know, in the, you know, latter three quarters of 2011. Of course, there is an argument that you can make that this adds to the perception that Nokia is not having had a very good second half of the year with delays to device and Symbian 3 and the Symbian Foundation news and everything like that. But I think it's a question where sometimes perception trumps reality. So I think we'll move on to another slight Christmassy theme here. For Christmas, I would like, I'm going to ask the team if you can recommend a handset or an accessory or something you would like, and I'll let Ewan go first on this occasion, which I may regret.
Yes, you will regret that. Things I would like for Christmas, not things I could actually get in the real world. Things I would like for Christmas. I'd like three of the old N-Gage titles redone in HD. I'd like to see Mile High Pinball given a complete spruce over, coming up to the HD standard, and just because it was such a great game, and it was great, it was casual, it was skill, it was arcadey, it was a bit of luck involved as well. I think that would work great guns. I'd like to see Catan brought back as well. It was out on the N-Gage Nokia. I actually got the first computer license for this. It's now happily live on Xbox Live and iOS as well. I'd like to see Catan come back. And I'd also like to see a good solid RPG come out here, and N-Gage had a Rift's Balance of Power or Promise of Power or something of power or something dark side, I don't know. But I would like to see a good Rift-based RPG come back onto the HD platforms as well. And, you know, on a physicality side, I'd like some scientist somewhere to have a breakthrough in battery technology. The biggest limiting factor in smartphones the world over is we have X amount of volume for battery. It's not really changed in the last 10 years. And we, you know, physics at the moment, we can get about 1500 milliamp hours into a battery of that size, give or take a cubic centimeter or two, or 200 milliamp hours too. I'd like someone out there just to have a eureka moment over Christmas, and, you know, whatever it is, I don't know what it is, if I did do it, I would have the eureka moment, be rich, but to get twice as much power into the battery space that we have at the moment. I think that would be a present that the tech industry the world over and the cadmium mines of China would love.
Okay, thank you very much, Ewan. David, have you got your suggestions lined up for us?
Yes, and I'll just back up Ewan. Please, someone, better battery technology. It's like if we have supercapacitors where we get many times the charge in charged up in seconds. That will come. It will come, guys. We don't know when, but it'll come. Fantasy things that I would like. I would like a smartphone with the following. The battery life of the E72, the body of the E7, the camera of the N8, and the processing oomph of the N900. Please, someone make that.
Okay.
And I think I think in the real world, I would like an N8. The C7 has been the C7's been a gateway drug for me, and I think I need to make an N8 fund.
I think the Nokia is taking part in its pushing activity there, you might say. Well, from my point of view, I'm just going to steal what Ewan was saying, and I'd add Pathway to Glory to the N-Gage game list that I'd like to see come back.
I agree. Again, it's a good RPG, though. It's the same sort of idea as Rift's Balance of Power. It's in that same sort of area, though. A big, strong, thinking, planning, tactical game.
Absolutely. In terms of sort of more practical things, I'd like to have the Nokia DAB radio headset, in under the Christmas tree. Unfortunately, that's not going to happen because I have been in touch with Nokia and apparently this has been delayed. It was originally going to be available in Q4. It was in fact meant to be available back in November, but it's now been pushed into Q1. But I am reassured that it's still on the way, so I think that's one to look out for. I think the final item, as I say, I'm looking forward to seeing what will come in 2011, and I'd like to just have a six-month preview on that. So things like the dual-core processors, which I think are going to make a big difference right across the board on all platforms. It'd be great to see them come in, and I'd just like to see that 6 months before anybody else. But I think that may be a bit unrealistic. So there we go. Now, just while we're on talking about Symbian, just one topic we should mention here, a bit more serious than we've been talking about here. It's the Symbian websites that we mentioned last week that were closing have now closed. However, that material is available via the FTP website, so if you need to get hold of it, the PDKs as well as the wiki database are all available. We're going to do our best to see if we can make an online copy of the wiki database available, because there's some great content in there. But the Symbian Foundation is now wound down to its transition team. There's just five people, I believe, five or six people sitting in the Symbian offices. That will go forward until March of next year. But we have got a little bit more information that you can now go to symbian.nokia.com and you'll find a blog which has the information about how Nokia is going to take the platform forward, and that's in terms of the licensing and the contribution, that kind of status. Of course, as we've said many times on the platform before, so many times on the podcast before, I should say, the Foundation and the platform are two separate entities, and you shouldn't really read health of one into the other. And while the Foundation has now been wound down, the platform is perhaps looking very good for 2011 with the commitment that Nokia's made to it and some of the things that we've heard about. We're expecting 2011 to be a very busy year for Symbian in terms of improvements going on, but both new devices coming out, so watch out for that.
I just love the fact that Nokia have went, you know what, we don't want Symbian Online anymore, we'll take the website down. Oh yeah, it's still there on FTP. You know, the internet is more than the web browser. I thought we'd learned that lesson 5 years ago.
Oh, well, thank you. I think actually the decision here was made by the Symbian Foundation. The problem here is there perhaps wasn't quite enough linked up discussion that Nokia could have perhaps had their efforts ready to go early. I mean, what they're now doing, as I understand it, is looking through things like the documentation, the code releases, the PDKs and everything else, and deciding what's relevant to be kept online. They're going to put it up on their own website, which is, to say, symbian.nokia.com. And the sort of Foundation itself is really going to just be a legal construction to deal with the open source licensing and with some of the patent issues. And so it will effectively be a holding company, if you like, to deal with some of the legal transfer issues as a result of the current legal setup. But to all intents and purposes, it's being taken over by Nokia, and they will be responsible for both developing the platform, although they are going to be inviting contributions for others. But in terms of the governance and the open source release, that's going to be down to Nokia. We'd like to see a much clearer picture about what's going to happen, but that's not happened. And I think you can speculate about whether that's a good thing or a bad thing for the platform. I think ultimately there's not much to be done about it at this stage. So we'll move on from that subject, but we will go to a subject that I believe is quite close to Ewan's heart, and that's Tron. So why are we mentioning Tron in this podcast, Ewan?
Because Nokia were one of the partners in the marketing of that. Whether Disney asked Nokia to come aboard or Nokia decided to give a truckload of money to Disney to get the N8 promoted the film, I'm not quite sure. But we've talked before about Nokia's marketing and how to reach out to the general population and stuff, and this, you know, product placement is one of the big things, certainly over in America. You know, that money that goes into advertising now goes into getting your phone being used by Chuck on popular TV series Chuck, to get your game mentioned on the Big Bang Theory, that sort of stuff like that. So to see Nokia being used in one of the leading films, the Nokia N8 makes two key appearances. One as the ability to upload a virus over Bluetooth into a server when you're not standing next to it in the server farm. Cool. And the other one is Big Magic, hold it open the door and it works out what the combination code is for the big massive safe door that also appeared in the very first Tron film back in 1982, for all of you geeks like me who can recognize stuff like that. Door opener, cool as well. Obviously, the script required a computer device, and Nokia stepped in to reach that. But Nokia have also backed that up. There's lots of things like wallpapers and music stuff that's coming online in the Obvious store. They've got Tron Tanks, which is a game which is based off the first film, even though it's being used to promote the second film. Smart move. But the fact that they're engaging in this, they're engaging it fully. Somebody has got a switched-on marketing campaign worked out alongside Disney. They're working with a partner, Disney. They've got a solid message, and they just want to push Nokia as a solid computer platform for the high end. And I think it's a good first step. Hopefully, you know, we've always talked about getting those first steps out, and it's still, you know, there's lots of them. And this is one more of them. But these all add up together very soon. Once you've got lots of first steps, then you can have a tutorial on how to buy a Nokia phone. Hopefully we'll see that in 2011. End of line.
Ewan, I haven't seen Tron yet. So the N8 is in the film. Is it running Symbian in the film?
Now, do you mean you've not seen Tron, or you've not seen Tron Legacy?
Tron Legacy.
Right, that's this year's film, because Tron is the one from 1982. It just goes straight to the application screen, so when it lifts up, he's already running the application that he wants. It's impossible to tell whether it's web runtime, whether it's Qt, or whether it's C++.
I think we can be pretty sure that it's running Qt. I mean, after all, that is the standard development platform going forward, and I'm sure someone as keyed up on computers as the main character's name, who's escaped me, but Ewan's going to remind me right now.
Sam Flynn.
Sam Flynn will obviously be a Qt developer. I think that's an absolute given. Okay, so Tron with Nokia sponsorship. Ewan, I'm probably going to regret this, but have you got some random bit of trivia you can give us about Tron that's slightly connected to the podcast?
Yes, I can, actually. The bit rate of the digital delivery of Tron was 10 megabits per second, which is exactly the same bit rate as the HD camera in the N8.
Excellent. Thank you, Ewan. So I think our final topic on this issue of the podcast is going to, you know, cause a bit of controversy here, but you know, we like to investigate the tough stuff here on All About Symbian. Well, he's not called Santa; he's called Father Christmas. And obviously, being a Symbian website, we know that he lives in Finland because that's where Nokia comes from. If you're Swedish, okay, yeah, you just move on. If you're in Canada, yeah, obviously he was in Europe first. So the interesting question here is, we saw that Tero Opiana, one of Nokia's EVPs, gave Father Christmas a Nokia N8 to put on his sleigh to help him navigate. But this does raise some very interesting questions, which we suspect Father Christmas might have a bit of problem with the N8. And Ewan, I know you've got a question that you want to ask.
I have, yes, and it's quite a simple one. We talked about this before in a big list of presents. Santa has huge gloves. We're asking him to use the N8 when he's flying. Even let's say he's flying at about 12,000 feet. That means the air temperature is usually about 15 degrees less than the surface air temperature. Now, in the UK, it's about -9 at the moment, which means where Santa's going to be flying his sleigh, it's going to be -24 degrees Celsius. Now, not only is that outside of the operational range of the touchscreen, even if by some miracle Santa actually has a heated N8 screen like you have in the back of a Volkswagen Beetle, he still wouldn't be able to use it with his gloves.
So do you think he might not perhaps get some modified gloves? Is there something like that that he could do?
Well, no, personally, I think that he'll use Doran Blitzen's nose and just kind of hold it in front of the reindeer's nose and they'll do it for him, because reindeer noses are as conductive as skin, but reindeer noses work down to -48.
So reindeer noses are as conductive as skin, and you can use them.
Yes.
Excellent. Well, of course, the other thing that he could use is the Nokia accessory, which is the SU36, which is a mini stylus, which you can attach to the N8. But I think I prefer the idea that he's going to be using Blitzen's nose. David,
yeah,
have you got...
sponsored by Blitzen, you see.
David, have you got any problems with this particular N8 gift?
Well, I'm just thinking, even with Ovi Maps, he doesn't have enough time to get around the planet in one night.
I refer you back to Black Holes and Albert Quantum Physics for the 11-year-old.
Well, yes, Ewan, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I'm donning my white coat now.
For those that don't know, David has a background in quantum physics, so prepare to be scared.
Yes. Well, there's two theories that he could get around the Earth so quickly. First of all, he could exploit relativity and it project in front of him a field of gravity, or for short, fog. Secondly, what he could do, he could actually not travel at all, and he could have like a very elaborate system at home administered through his N8, because he would have like a HTML interface, so he could use the N8 web browser, and he could actually exploit quantum entanglement and actually teleport all the gifts into everyone's houses overnight.
I actually have another theory here, David. Let me hear this one, and it's to do with Rudolph's nose.
Yes.
Okay. There's a huge amount of energy coming out of that nose.
Yes.
That energy is going to bend space-time. I believe that Rudolph actually casts a special field around Santa's sleigh where the speed of light drops to 3 meters per second. This means that even though it takes Santa for about 5,500 years, from our frame of reference, he's managing it in 3 seconds.
Okay, well, I'm a bit stunned by those particular things, and I think it's quite useful that Rudolph's nose has an alternative use, because after all, the song does go, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight? And clearly, with Ovi Maps on the N8, Rudolph is going to be unemployed from the guiding the sleigh point of view.
Rafe?
Yep?
What colour is the flashing dot on Ovi Maps?
That is a very good point.
Thank you very much.
And I will just say about Rudolph's nose, his nose is actually a sort of orangey red colour, but he's moving towards us so fast. He's moving away from us so fastly. it actually tends to red from other colours.
Okay, so that's
a Doppler shift.
That's red shift going on. Okay, thank you, David. I think the other problem is, of course, that Father Christmas might get a bit over-reliant on OviMaps, because, after all, it does only work in 80 countries, and while that is more countries than any other navigation system that comes standard with a smartphone, it does seem to miss out 120 countries, so I think that's another issue there. Of course,
the reason for that is twofold, Rafe. And the main one, of course, is that quite a few countries don't subscribe to the ENA as being the Santa device. Most of those countries actually look for the iSanta. Now, this is like normal Santa, but it's never been discovered before. He actually has less presents, and everybody gets exactly the same. You don't need his stocking, but everybody in America really, really believes in him.
And it is magical.
Yeah, yeah. And it's going to change the way you look at Santa for the rest of your life.
Okay, so I think we can draw a close to this particular podcast. I'd like to say a big thank you to Steve, who has actually had to pop off early. He said he had something to go and do, which...
I think he knew what was coming.
Either that, or it's a bit suspicious. Steve is actually Father Christmas in his sort of second job. But a big thank you to my co-host, David Gilson.
Thanks, everyone, and Merry Christmas if you celebrate it. And if you don't, enjoy the break, and Happy New Year.
And Ewan?
Yes, everybody enjoy Doctor Who Day on December the 25th. It starts at 6 p.m. And I'll catch you all for Hogmanay, the typical Scottish tradition of getting riotously off my face.
Yes, and thank you everyone for listening. It's goodbye from me, Rafe, as well. And look out for our next podcast, which will be, I guess, a review of 2010 and looking forward to 2011. And happy Christmas and all the best from the new year as well from me.